And make sure you have your list with you. And we'll go ahead and get started with the forgiveness exercise that's scheduled for 8:30. And before I do that, I just want to make one announcement, and that is to remind everybody that they have like a 11 o'clock noise curfew. So even when we're visiting in the cabins, if we can avoid hysterical laughing at the top of our lungs, which is hard for us to do because we're having such a good time, but if we can keep it like a subdued conversation, then we'll be invited back, which we'd really like to do, to keep coming here. So anyway, as you saw in the letter, it simply asked us, and I was amazed how long a list I had, to just list things that are weighing on you, whether it's people, events, the politics, your own situation, why aren't you more successful, whatever is weighing on you is what we put on that list. And I would suggest that if your name isn't on it, to add it, and if God's name isn't on there, to add that. Because that's kind of a universal thing that we somehow carry around in our subconscious, that our life isn't the way it should be, and it's not my fault, so it could be God's. And he's not around to defend himself, and so it's real easy to have those thoughts and not realize the unfairness that we're carrying around. So if we get all that, in a traditional way, we're going to look at this from two perspectives. And a more traditional one, I'm going to play a forgiveness meditation by a very interesting man called Stephen Levine, who I went to hear many, many years ago just because the girl I was dating said, "Oh, you got to hear him." And I said, "No, I don't have to hear him." "Well, you'll be sleeping alone tonight." "Well, actually, I will." "Actually, it sounds good. Sounds good." Jeez, I got there and he stands up and he says, "Well, we'll just start out with a guided meditation." And it was almost like I was just swept in, and I've been reading him ever since. There's several books on that list. In particular, Who Dies, which helps us deal with the main topic tomorrow morning, which is by dying that we awaken and what all that means. So we'll spend, just get totally relaxed, and I hope this system works where I put a tape on and plays through the system, and then we'll pick it up when it ends, okay?
Turn this over. You ready, Mr. Lee? Yeah, I hope this works.
Find a comfortable place to sit and settle in there. And as you settle in, reflect for a moment on what forgiveness is. What is forgiveness? What might it mean to bring forgiveness into your life? Now, invite into your mind the image, the sense of someone you have resentment for, someone you have perhaps put out of your heart. Just feel their presence in your mind, this person you have resentment for. and now gently, just as an experiment in truth. Invite that person from your mind into your heart. Feel their approach to your heart. Notice whatever blocks that approach. Fear. Anger. Distrust. Notice the qualities that block the entrances to the heart. And just for this moment, let that person through. Let them into your heart. This person you have resentment for. And in your heart, say to them, I forgive you. I forgive you. It's so painful to put someone out of your heart. For this moment, let them back in. And whisper to them silently in your heart. I forgive you. I forgive you for whatever you may have done that caused me pain in the past, intentionally or unintentionally, through your words, through your actions, even through your thoughts, however you hurt me. I forgive you. I forgive you. Let go. It's so painful to hold on to the resentment. Let it go. Have mercy on you. Forgive them. I forgive you for whatever you may have done in the past, intentionally or unintentionally, that caused me pain through your confusion, through your distrust, through your anger, through your separateness. However you caused me pain, I forgive you. I forgive you. Allow. Allow them to be touched by the possibility of your forgiveness, by your mercy, by your kindness. Forgiving them, letting them back into your heart. I forgive you. I know just as I wish only to be happy, so do you. I forgive your ignorance, your fear, your pain. I forgive you. I forgive you. Having been touched by the possibility of your forgiveness, let them go on their way. Bid them farewell for now. Perhaps even touching them with a blessing as they depart. Let them go. Now invite into your heart, into your mind, someone who has resentment for you. Someone who has perhaps put you out of their heart. Someone who has judged you. Someone who has hurt you. Someone who has caused you pain. And just invite them in. Let them into your heart for this moment. For this experiment in forgiveness. Let them in. This person who has resentment toward you. Let them in. Notice whatever limits or blocks their entrance to the heart. Your fear. Your anger. Your sense of betrayal, your distrust. Just notice what blocks or limits forgiveness. No judgment. And invite this person into your heart. And in your heart, say to them, I ask your forgiveness. I ask for your forgiveness. However I may have hurt you, intentionally or unintentionally, through my confusion, through my fear, however I may have caused you pain, I ask now that you forgive me. I ask to be forgiven. Let it in. Let it in. Allow yourself to be forgiven. have mercy on you. Allow their forgiveness into your heart. Let it be so. Let it be so. I ask for your forgiveness. For whatever I may have done that caused you pain, through my forgetfulness, through my self-interest, through my fear, however I could not hold my pain and spilled it out on you, I ask your forgiveness. I ask that you forgive me now. Allow yourself to be touched by the possibility of their forgiveness, by their mercy, by their healing. Let it in. Let yourself be forgiven.
Okay, now as we are just getting conscious again and sitting here, this is the exercise that I'm suggesting. I'm going to take some styrofoam cups , pass them back, make sure everybody gets one. Get these closer to the middle. And if there isn't enough, I got another package here. Thanks, Amy. See if anybody in the back needs one, okay? Oh, I need one. I'm not getting out of this one. Amy, one here. Thanks. Okay, has everybody got one? All we're going to do is tear the list up and put the pieces in the cup. Tear them into the smaller pieces you want, but just create a lot of little pieces of paper out of one big one. We don't have to be angry, we're just tearing up little pieces of paper. We're just in kindergarten. We're just tearing up papers. Okay. Now, starting with this table, I'm going to get a trash bag here. And I want you to just come up. And when you stand in front of me, and then when this table finishes, then the next table starts, so we aren't all standing up at once. And hold the cup over the bag, and in your mind, just say, let. And when you say, go, just spread your fingers. Don't push it in back. Just let gravity do it. In other words, let go. Okay? Let go. Then, when you go back to your seat, stand in front of your chair, like I'm standing here, and just say, let God. And feel how much more support you have sitting down. You feel the weight that just comes off your feet. So it's just let go and then let God. So, let's just start with this table. Come on around this way and just one at a time. It's not a big deal, just your own way. Okay, next, Bill. Good. Yeah. Hi, Jean. There we go. Hi, Mick. Good. How about this table? Like they may all fit. Hey, Raj. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Lee, hold this one for me, will you? And then tie it up. Ah. Now, what I liked about that exercise, if you may not have made this the central focus, but did you notice how light the cup was? What do you think it weighed? Half an ounce? You came up here to deposit maybe an ounce. You could say that when we don't forgive, that is the cross that we have given ourselves to carry. I judged some situations and I decided they were terrible and I'm not going to forgive them, and I am going to carry this cross. It's mine. And I'm going to experience the pain that that not forgiving gave me. And it's quite serious. Obviously, I wouldn't have carried it so long. They say to err is human, to forgive is divine. And so it sounds like, geez, we're really stuck with this stuff. But what if we could see through the illusion? That's what we're talking about this entire weekend. That our ego played on us. It told us that this burden, this cross that we're carrying, is very heavy. Very heavy. When I was in the Marine Corps, one of the tricks that the drill sergeants would play on the recruits when we went on a 20-mile hike with a 30-pound pack, halfway through the hike, they'd go up to one of the kids and they'd go, "Jones, you are amazing. You're going through with a 60-pound pack, doing just as well as all the rest are with a 30-pound pack." Guess who didn't finish the march? It's hard to finish a march with a 60-pound pack on your back. How did the pack get that heavy? So that he could feel it. It was killing him. It hurts his shoulders twice as much as when he thought he had a 30-pound pack. He told himself, this is much more painful than it used to be when it was 30 pounds. And he believed it. And carried that. And exhausted himself. And so, when we look at this bag over here, that bag contains the heavy crosses of 55 guys. Sitting right in that bag. And is Amy back there? Oh, Amy, just so you can, for demonstration purposes, I'm going to ask Amy to throw the trash out. Now, just a second, Amy. As you can see, Amy's not a bodybuilder. She's not a weightlifter where she's down flexing her muscles. But I talked to her and she said she's willing to try and do this. She's willing to try and pick up the crosses of 55 men with one hand.
Can you take the trash out, Amy? I'd sure appreciate it. That was quite a burden. She's really strong. I never would have guessed that she could have picked up that much weight with one hand. So in the method that we're discussing here, we're simply trying to see through each illusion that we have, that life is difficult and heavy and hard. So what are crosses made out of? Thoughts. But a thought doesn't weigh anything. You know what I mean? You could put a million thoughts in that bag and it wouldn't even register on the scale. So what makes it so heavy? Our body and our emotions believe what the thoughts are saying. And we trick ourselves into having the most incredible burden to walk through life with. And the more we can expose the illusion that this is heavy. I was thinking about it that what we really had an exercise in could be called drop the cross. Which somehow reminds me of a talk I gave 30 years ago, 1976, in Palm Springs, California, called Drop the Rock. So what has happened in 30 years? I'm still giving the same talk. Haven't learned a thing. It's what it looks like, right? And when I figured this out, I almost cried. I'll tell you what I learned. I learned that rock didn't weigh 1 ounce. That's the difference between 30 years ago and now. I could have swam all day with that rock. That rock weighed maybe a half an ounce. And I was in that talk, I'm out there holding it. I'm going under. Oh, drop the rock. I can't. It's my rock. I'm going under. And it didn't weigh anything. Except that I told myself it did. And I would have drowned. And so this is a new way of looking at the same set of circumstances we've been looking at for a long time. We're looking in the one with Stephen. If I could just let this go. You know what I'm saying? If I could just open my heart wide enough to allow enough forgiveness to come out, to just please relieve me of the bondage. Well, how did I get any bondage? Oh, I made it up. I got to have as good a story as everybody else. I can't go to those freaking meetings going, oh, everything's okay. I'll pass. I mean, that ain't going to work. You got to have something to be working on. You can't just by magic not have any problems. But there it is. That rock didn't weigh anything. And I'm there going through all of this whole story about getting red and all that kind of stuff. So what the real burden, this is just as I see it today, and all we can ever share is what we see today. Nobody has the truth. You know what I mean? we can point each other towards the truth, and then you can go, and when it's revealed to you, you will be reporting on what you are seeing that day. So I'm just reporting on what I see this day. And I see the core situation being a conflict inside of me. And the conflict is between the world that God created and the world that I created through my story. And they're struggling to see which one survives. Which? It's the war of the worlds. You follow what I'm saying? And as long as that war is raging inside of human beings, how can there ever be peace? If I can't believe and have peace within myself, how can I ever think of such a thing as peace? So awakening is possibly the greatest thing that can be done on the planet, is to end this war inside of ourselves between the what I created and what God created. And believe me, my world ain't going down without a fight. It is simply not. It's not going to just raise the white flag and say, okay, erase, 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 erase. Thank you. I give up. I don't want, another lecture will talk about what we give up. And so there's a phenomenon that seems to happen that is hard to figure out sometimes. We work the program as we're taught, and we get progress, and it's wonderful. And then it's as if we get indigestion or some kind of a backlash to the progress. You know what I mean? I was happy as heck yesterday. And now I'm waking up and it's like, whether I got an indigestion or I got this or I got that. There's part of us that's very threatened by the spiritual progress that we made because its life could end. The ego. And as we squeeze on it, it makes up all kinds of ways of tricking us. I like my ego's prayer. I don't know if your ego ever prays, but mine does without me realizing. I think I'm praying. And the ego's down there, and here's an ego prayer. I don't know if you've ever had an ego prayer, but this is my ego prayer. God, I am so grateful for what you have done for me. You've taken me from a wreck of a person, with no self-respect, with no friends, with nothing. And you've lifted me up with your wonderful grace. And you've placed me in a position where now I have friends. Now I have self-respect. Now I have peace of mind. I am so grateful that you have placed me here where I no longer need you. That almost sounds like a legitimate prayer, doesn't it? I can't thank you enough for making me self-sufficient again. I'll call you when I need you. And the extent of this is amazing, which is why we need each other. Remember there's a sentence in the 12 and 12? People of very high spiritual development always insist on checking with others the spiritual guidance they feel they got from their higher power. People of very high spiritual development check with each other. What about us? And so that's why we run things by each other. As a standard, Kent and I have lunch all the time, and he'll just say, can I run something by you? And then I'll say, well, yeah, but let me run something by you. And this is how truth gets revealed. Somebody said, well, how do I know if it's God's will? I said, ask somebody else. You're just run it by somebody else. If they fall off their chair, it probably isn't. You know what I mean? I'm saying, oh, yeah, last night it was clear. I woke up and God wants me to leave my wife and go to Guatemala. There's this 18-year-old girl down there and it's very spiritual in Guatemala and I know I should be there. And like my heart tells me everything. I'm in total harmony. I don't think you're going to say, go with God. No. You're probably going to tell them that we ought to rethink this one. My point is that Carl Jung, when he wrote the letter back to Bill, made a very interesting observation after he thanked Bill for telling him about it and how glad he was that there was AA and how he knew that alcoholics were really thirsting after God and that the solution would lie in seeking God. But then he went on to say, it was a very interesting sentence. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. But he said, you know, I've been studying human nature for 70 years or whatever it was. And he, when asked if he believed in God, he said, no, I don't believe in God. I know there's a God. He was going beyond belief. And he said, here's the situation facing the human race. Every human being has to struggle with evil. We call it character defects. And listen to this pronouncement. And they always lose. How do you like that? And they always lose. Bingo, with one exception. People who have had spiritual awakenings and are in a society that enables them to maintain the spiritual awakening. Now, do we have any idea how lucky we are? Do you know what percentage of the world has even a glimpse of a spiritual awakening and is in a society that enables them to maintain it? It's really staggering to realize what a small percentage it is. And so, getting back to the first lecture of the importance of awakening and passing that message on, if that isn't established as the goal, in other words, the goal is awakening. Just like we were talking about, oh, so if you're looking for awakening, just like you're looking for trouble, that's what you're going to find. Whereas if you direct somebody towards sobriety, that's what they'll find. And what does Bill say with the tornado or the twister and the sobriety? We think a person who says sobriety is enough is unthinking. Sobriety, nothing ensures immunity from drinking like working with another alcoholic. Okay, nothing about an awakening there. That just keeps us alive so that we can go for the main event. That's the point I'm trying to make here, is that's the jackpot. In the awakening, when Bill writes, the purpose of this book is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problems. The finding of the power solves the problems? How does that happen? It gives you the power to see that you don't have any problems. Spirituality is, you know how you got a spot remover? A can of spot remover? This is a can of problem remover. So when somebody comes to talk to us about, oh, I got this terrible problem, how do I solve it? What I say to them is, well, I'm not going to help you solve your problem. We're going to sit here until I
can show you that you don't have a problem. Then you can leave. We're going to look at it entirely differently until you say, oh yeah, I guess that's not a problem. There's a big difference between solving problems and seeing that you created it in the first place. I don't know if you've ever done this. Sometimes when I'm feeling bad, I trick myself into feeling good. I mean, we're so screwed up, we have to do tricks like that. I'm feeling down, I'm out, I don't know what I'm doing, things are going lousy. And I go, watch this. And I run over and I get the movie section. You know, like the dog, you get the leash. Hey, hey, ho, 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 going for a walk. So I get the movie section, I go, movies, movies, oh. Let's open, see what's playing. Okay, 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 I'll look. But I'm still holding on to the problem. But I'm mildly interested in this movie thing that is being waved in front of me. And so I look and go, hey, here's one you really like. It's about the Marines. Well, do we get popcorn? Yeah. You want to go? Yeah. And then I'm laughing as I go out to the car. I fooled him again, fooled him again, fooled him again. Now he's feeling good. I tricked him. Here's the most important part of the whole story. Guess who tricked me into having a problem in the first place? Same guy. I was sitting around with no problems. And along came part of me going, watch this. A practical joke on, so watch what I'm going to do to Tommy. Whatever it is. Floating cigar. That's what our ego does. Look at Tommy sitting over there, happy, just sitting there. Watch this. Hey, Tommy. What? So if we can see through the illusions, it is a solution of immense proportions. Because every illusion, if you go to a magic show, once you know how the trick works, you ain't going back to see that guy anymore. You know what I'm talking about? All of the power of the illusion is gone because you know how it was done. Every trick, every time you can find, oh, I just did that, and expose it, this whole story starts to collapse. It starts to have no justification. It's losing its power every time we can expose it. And that's a very wonderful thing to have happen. To have that. This is another area that we can use each other for. I just can't shake this. You know, I have phone conversations with friends of mine and I have a buzzword and it is, can I run something by you? Now, what that means is, I know you're at work, but I only want 45 seconds. You follow what I'm saying? I just want 45 seconds. So then, sure. Okay. A, this guy walked in. I was supposed to do this. B, this happened. And C, that's what I, and I feel crappy. How do you see it? See how long that took? A, B, C. How do you see it? He said, well, the way I see it, your boss must have been totally screwed up. Maybe his wife beat him over the head. I mean, he was off base. What he did was absolutely out of the ballpark wrong. So forgive him. End of story. Forgive him. It's almost like I need permission from somebody else to see it that way. Oh, okay. So it is forgivable? Did you look it up in the book? Isn't there a list of things you can forgive and then ones you can't forgive? This one is forgive. Okay, all right, so I'll forgive him. Or he may say to me, you're seeing it all wrong. You're seeing it all wrong. You got to apologize to him for this or this. Really? Yes. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm sorry. Done. Problem gone. Spot remover. Trick is over. The illusion is finished. Fini. It's gone. You don't go to bed with it that night. It is G-O-N-E. So this is what awakening is. The power to see through the story that we've been telling ourselves. And hopefully this weekend we'll spend some more time on this type of approach, which is focusing on awakening further. In other words, I'm looking for a fight. I'm looking for an awakening. And that's my goal, is to fully awaken any second now. You follow what I'm saying? Now you may say, well, what's that? That's my goal. That's what I'm looking for. And I think it is a tremendously focused way of applying the steps. There is a very definite goal, which our 12 steps says is the whole point of the deal anyway. Okay, we're right at the end of the time, and we got plenty of time to visit and socialize some more, and then zip the noise at 11 o'clock, and we'll see you at breakfast at 9. Thank you all very much.